I stood shell-shocked outside the abandoned store, hand in my jacket pocket, feeling the cassette tape that couldn't be there, but somehow was. In a trance, my fingers brushed across the hard plastic carapace of the tape, feeling the rougher spots of the torn label, the blocky, analog topography. And then, almost as if drawn by magnetism, my two fingertips slipped into the cassette's two holes, fitting tightly into the spools. And working steadily against my fingers, I felt those spools begin to spin, feeding magnetic tape to each other. I tried to take my hand out of my pocket, but I couldn't move. The plastic hiss of the cassette reels vibrated up my wrist, and then I heard it reverberating against the bone of my skull like the tight head of a snare drum.
It's time to walk.
A voice. It spoke into my skull again.
Walk to your car.
Before my rattled brain could even begin to parse the meaning of the sounds, my legs were carrying me down the sidewalk. The tape spun harder against my fingers, burning, and I swooned. My vision going blurry. And then I was in my car in the driver's seat, and the scenery I didn't recognize was spooling by the window like that magnetic tape. Driving with one hand, the other still immobilized in my pocket, I mindlessly obeyed. A feverish heat bloomed through my body as I kept driving, following each command as I received it.
Turn left.
Hours passed and I sweated bullets, more water than could have been in my body. My mouth felt like the bottom of a shoe and I lost feeling in my fingers, though I could hear the whir of the tape chewing at them.
Turn right.
I caught an impression of a sign reading, "Welcome to Plastown, New Hampshire," before another throw of dizziness dragged me under. I came to with a jolt as I stopped the car.
You made it.
I stumbled out of the car door, stinking and drenched in sweat. A dull agony wedged itself into the space between my eyeballs and brow ridge, and I closed my eyes.
Go inside!
My eyelids fluttered back open, and I saw it in front of me, in all its glory. Red's Shoe Barn. It was after 3 a.m, but the lights were all on. I could see silhouettes in the windows. It looked crowded, and sounded crowded too. Snatches of conversations floating to me across the packed parking lot.
You're going to be late.
A bell rang as I pushed the door open with my shoulder. I squinted against the bright lights, trying to discern what I'd walked into. A collection of dark humanoid shapes were all around me and refused to resolve into anything more distinct. The chatter became deafening. In front of me was an empty chair and I collapsed into it. Bright spotlights clunked on. A hush fell over the crowd. Sharp click sounded inside my head, and the damned cassette tape gave a shudder. One final sentence thrummed through my skull as it released my mangled fingers.
See you in hell.
Welcome to the Monstie Awards!
Hello, hello everybody. Please take your seats. Thank you for being here.
Wow, what a crowd. All sorts of beautiful freaks in the audience tonight. Oh, I see the other mother is here. I wish the other mother had shown up. You smell like shit.
I don't see Reptile in the crowd tonight.
A huge thank you to Plastown, New Hampshire for letting us use Red's Shoe Barn as our venue for the Monsties this year. Thank you. We've traveled far and wide looking for the perfect spot to do our show, but we haven't traveled as much as one person here. I mean, we've been around the world, but Jormungandr, you've been around the world.
Oh, wait. Is that... A sack of living shit just walked in. Oh, no, wait. That's Oogie Boogie. How's it hanging, man? You look like something's bugging you. Just playing.
Oh boy, this is going poorly. for most of the audience, this is probably the biggest bomb they've seen in their lives. Yeah, except for Godzilla.
Oh, shit. Hey, Patches. Nice to see you can make it.
Oh, Patches, what's up, man?
Oh, hey, guys. What's up? Yeah, happy to be here.
Hey, look, it's Bigfoot, as elusive as he is smelly. Oh, you're half-turned walking away already? I'm just giving you a guff, man. Tonight's show is going to be great. Knock on wood.
And let's get a round of applause for our audience for making it out tonight. Unless, of course, you're seated next to the chimps. If you are next to the chimp section, do not clap. You need to stay very, very still the entire evening.
Also, there will be an open bar for everyone except for Unicorn's girlfriend, who is too young. Hey, buddy, lay off the virgins.
But seriously, folks, we have a great show for you tonight, and it seems like the lights are dimming, flickering, and making an ominous humming noise, so that's our cue to get started. Welcome, boils and ghouls, to the Monsty Awards.
Monster crazy.
We're back.
Yep. We're back after a long time. Sorry, everybody, but we're back now. And I am one of the hosts of the illustrious Monsty Awards for 2024. I am presenter Cameron.
I'm thrown off by your change of format there. I'm the other host for the Monsty Awards this evening. And that's, of course, because I'm Fabulous Kai.
Okay. I would have accepted announcer Kai. Or Master
right,
of Ceremonies
fine.
Kai.
Fine, I'll be...
Already.
King Kai. God Kai.
Okay, that's fair enough. Wow. Well, we made it. A whole nother year. 2024. And you're listening, of course, to Monster Crazy, the only monster podcast in the northern and southern hemispheres combined. And the format of the Monsties will be a little different this year because the last time that we did the Monsties about a year ago was we had a lot of monsters to go off of that we covered it on the show. We had, I think, near 50, maybe even more than 50. And as I'm sure if you're, you know, a slavering, rabid fan of this show, you've noticed that there have not been very many episodes or things coming out.
Yeah, there have been 12.
So there have been 12 since the last Monsties, which is 12. And I mean, that's once a month, even if it's not, it wasn't once a month.
Yeah.
But if you smooth it out, that's once a month. So anyway, the Monsty Awards, usually, you know, last year, I say usually, but we've done it one time. Usually we give awards to monsters that we've covered on the show and we send them out invitations. But this year we decided to send out invitations to every single monster that ever has existed ever. So yep. Everything is fair game for these awards. Anybody could win. All bets are off.
It's a really big Monsties, and honestly, I'm surprised that they all fit in Red Shoe Barn.
I know. I mean,
there are like unlimited monsters here.
But the thing about Red Shoe Barn is it does have a basement, which you don't know the second you walk in. But that's where the men's shoes are. So if you're looking to buy shoes for men, you'll have to go to the basement.
And there's also a basement below that.
That I haven't seen when I've been there, but I guess I could believe it. Maybe that's where they keep the secret shoes.
Nope, it's where they keep the normal shoes when they need to resupply the other shoes.
Oh, that makes sense, actually. All right, so, I mean, what do you say we just get into the awards?
Yeah, sure.
Start giving them out.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, I have some awards to give out tonight. A lot of them are ones that I thought of. But some of them, and I think you'll probably be able to tell the difference, some of them are ones that I found from websites that are like 100 superlatives to put in your middle school yearbook. So we'll see about that.
Nice.
But the first one I have here is, which monster out of all the ones we've gathered here tonight, who would make the best coworker?
That's an interesting question.
Who do you want to be emailing all day? Who do you want to be sitting in the cubicle next to, you know, hanging out at the water cooler with?
I think we've covered them in the past, but I think a Borg.
A Borg would be good, but a Borg would also be trying to assimilate you the whole time.
And that would get really annoying.
It would get really, really annoying after a while, because a Borg also doesn't have the, like, you know, I feel like maybe, like, say someone who's trying to convert you to Christianity or something at work.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to get the hint eventually.
Yeah.
But a Borg will not get the hint.
They'd get in trouble with HR. But the problem with the Borg is they've already assimilated HR.
Yeah, exactly. And HR at this job would be called IR, Inhuman Resources.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah.
I think a good coworker would be also like a demon. Not like a generic, like, goat style demon, but one of the demons. You know how there's always a movie where the devil is like a lawyer, or he works on contracts or something?
Sure.
Like that. Like one of those demons who can use his fingernail to write in blood ink on a contract. You know what I mean?
That type would be a demon. Another good coworker, I guess, could be like an elemental summon that is bound to do your work for you.
A rock elemental.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't talk much, they'd mind their own business, they wouldn't, you know, they would just go to work, get the job done, go home, and stand in a state of suspended animation until it was time to go to work again.
Right. A rock elemental is not gonna snitch on you or get you in trouble for playing cool math games on the clock. But also sometimes I feel like maybe you might want someone chattier or a little more gossipy.
Do you have someone in mind?
No.
Okay.
What about a gibbering mouther?
Yeah, that
TNT?
Would be a good one.
A blob covered in mouth. God, that would actually be my perfect coworker. Actually, I think would be a gibbering mouther, where every mouth is saying it, like every mouth is assigned to one other coworker and is saying some kind of horrendous gossip about them.
That would be awesome. I don't think I could stand a gibbering mouther. You know, I do want a chattier coworker than a golem, but or an elemental, but not that chatty. That's too much.
Yeah, I guess I just thought of a middle ground, which is a robot.
Yeah,
but like a 50s style, like Robbie the Robot style robot, where he's like walking. He moves like this the stone elemental. And he's kind of, he doesn't really have emotions, and he's walking around, and he's saying, like, task initiated, and that type of thing. But then also every once in a while, he's like, you know, did you hear that Carol's son got hit by a car?
And he doesn't have any tact, so some of the stuff that he says is
exactly
fun.
He just detects it. he's like, I detected whiskey on John's breath this morning.
Michael is having an affair.
Yeah, there is a 77% chance that Michael is having an affair. And that's the best gossip, is the stuff that's not even fully true.
Honestly, I think it would be funny also if you know, he's a 50s robot. He's not a perfect machine.
I'm envisioning literally exact. Do you know Robbie the Robot?
Yeah.
I'm exactly him.
I think Robbie the Robot is probably the best coworker.
Yeah, that would be a really good coworker. And
is he a monster?
He counts as a monster for sure. If any robots are a monster, he's a monster.
All right, sure. I'd like to nominate Robbie. Is Robbie in the crowd?
I think he might be here tonight, but I think he ran out of batteries.
Also, do you second the nomination?
I agree with Robbie the Robot. Another fun thing about Robbie the Robot is that he was he's in a bunch of different movies, like as Robbie. You know what I mean? Like he's like almost like a robot actor. Like, sure. He, like, was in different movies as different robots, but he is Robbie the Robot. So it's almost as if he is a real actor robot, and that in that case, the people who were in movies with him were his coworkers, and maybe they could attest. Maybe we have to reach out and interview them.
Yeah.
What was it like to work with Robbie the Robot? Oh, he was a monster backstage.
Yeah. Really big personality. Huge ego.
Yeah.
Well,
if you keep your girlfriend away from him, if she's coming to visit set, do not let her into his dressing room.
Well, I guess I'm going to fold this winning slip into a paper airplane and perfectly throw it at him just because it does appear as though he's powered down and he's not able to make
it. I'm just going
to
email it to him and he'll probably get it in the morning.
Yeah, actually email, save a tree.
Actually, he probably doesn't have email on board because he's so old. So actually what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to type out this text file in Morse code and then I'm going to plug a long cable from the stage and walk through the audience and plug it into his chest. And okay. It's going to download.
Oh, Cameron's doing that right now. All right. Cool. He did it.
Okay. It was done.
It is done now.
Okay.
The next category is Best Wingman.
Best Wingman. Who is going to get you laid at the motherfucking bar? Who's going to talk you up?
That's a good one.
I guess also there could be an alternate category for Best Wingman, and that one is between Rodan and Mothman.
But we're not talking. We're talking about who's gonna get you some score.
Well, they could have wings. Actually, I think Rodan wouldn't be a bad wingman.
You roll up on Rodan. I mean, that's already a pretty, you know. You're like, oh yeah, that's my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of speaks for itself.
Who's silver tongued?
I mean, I immediately think of Devil League type guys again.
Yeah, they're pretty good at everything is the thing.
Yeah, but also they would have some kind of monkey's paw twist.
Yeah, they'd be like, "You, that's my friend over there. Thinks you're cute." And then he's like, "Would you like to sign this paper to go have one night with him?" And then it turns out you're signing away like one night of your life. You die one day earlier,
or it's your last night.
Yeah, something. They would definitely have some bullshit like that.
Or he would just be a dick, and he would talk you up, and then at the last minute, take him home.
Yeah. You know who would be good to go to the bar with? Would be a Goron from Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Just because you're gonna look really tall and skinny next to him, almost no matter what. And also, everyone's gonna be like going up to him, be like, "Man, what's up?" And you're gonna stand out next to him, and he's polite, he's talking you up, but he's not able to seal the deal. He passes it to you.
Uh huh. Yeah, I guess the best wingman is someone who fumbles the bag and you look cool next to.
Yeah.
So I mean, Loveland Frog could also work. I mean.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, just as something. Here's an alternate take on it, though. What about someone who? What about some type of parasite, like a face hugger or a head crab or something, where it's like they're wingmanning you by becoming part of your body and enhancing you and making you more physically strong, like a zombie, like a Resident Evil like T virus or something.
You have deep shadows under your eyes and you throw up black bile and look over at the person you're flirting with and you just say the perfect line. You know exactly what to say. And it's, you look like you are filled with nutrients.
Yeah, I guess I'm imagining, I don't even know if there's a monster that does this. I feel like there must be, but something that like goes up your spine.
There has to be,
but yeah, I think it's some type of like, oh, you know what it is? It's like the scarab from Blue Beetle or something like that, like some kind of biomech suit that like grows around you.
On a similar note, a good wingman, a good monster wingman could be Ben 10. You know, just a 10-year-old kid that you hang out with who's nice and polite, but he's not a threat because he's 10. So, you know, there's no competition. You're just, you know.
Right, and girls love guys who hang out with 10-year-old kids at the bar.
Yeah, they do. 10-year-old kids who could turn into freaks.
Yeah, I don't know that Ben 10 himself counts as a monster, though.
We could turn into 10 monsters. Probably more.
I could turn into 10 monsters. That doesn't make me a monster.
All right, fine.
The fact that he has to turn into the monsters proves that he's not a monster. That's my argument. Because otherwise you'd say he can be 10 monsters still.
I don't know that he'd be a good
wingman.
He could
remain 10 monsters.
But I was thinking about aliens, and I think it would be cool to have General Grievous as a wingman.
General Grievous would be fire.
Yeah.
I would just want to hang out with him.
Imagine General Grievous if he was a bartender. He could do some really
cool
stuff.
That's an incredible bartender. Yeah, he's like he's always cleaning two glasses.
Uh-huh. And like...
Yeah, and then also, he would also be a great bar buddy. Like, you could like kind of always... You could be trying to start shit, and he would always like back you up. And he'd have four lights. He'd pull out the lightsabers if someone got... If you'd like got in over your head.
And he would probably look cool playing pool.
Yeah, he would look... Oh my god, he could play pool against himself.
Yeah, he could.
What's the name of the Resident Evil 4 1 zombies where the thing comes out of their head? Did you ever play Resident Evil 4?
I didn't, no.
Oh god, what's it called? There's something... Resident Evil 4... I think it's the Plagas, I think. They have their head explodes and a big, like... insecty sharp thing comes out. I think that's my vote for Wingman, as like a parasite that enhances you and still counts as a separate entity that's helping you get laid. Like, you're just a girl is like kind of scanning the bar and you're sitting and she looks at you, she smiles and waves, and you smile, and then your entire head splits open and a giant tentacle comes up and with a big sharp talon on it.
Yeah, that would be hot.
It'd be cool too.
Yeah. Hot and cool.
Yeah, that's my vote, but I could be swayed.
I don't think I have a better one.
All right. Are we locking it in? La Plagas?
I think it's Las Plagas. La Plagas. Cool. Get on up over here, but stay away.
No, do not cut up here. Stay far away from here. Okay. The next category we have, and this is an exciting one, I think, because there's a lot of different facets to it.
Uh-huh.
What monster would be most famous as a pop star? Because this is fun, because we can look at the type of music they would be singing, how popular they would be due to their fashion style and popularity, how much it would be due to their music, you know, maybe if they had any classic collaborations that skyrocketed them to fame. There's really all... different angles to attack this from.
I mean, what immediately comes to mind for me is Count Dracula.
Yeah, that's an easy one. He could hypnotize crowds too.
Yeah, but he wouldn't even need to. He dresses well. He's good at stuff.
Yeah,
he steals the youth from his prey.
I'm imagining now
he stays forever young.
Not to always bring it back to the Loveland Frog, but the Loveland Frog having a really beautiful singing voice, like a falsetto.
No.
Just like a yeah, 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 yeah. Kind of just like the Loveland Frog. Yeah.
The Loveland Frog would be a good dancer too. Cool. Yeah, he would. Fast.
Yeah. Speaking of a good dancer, what about Optimus Prime? He could do crazy choreography on stage with his wheels.
And he's transforming. He could break dance into a semi truck and out of it. Again,
yeah.
Like a move. Okay. Imagine General Grievous breakdancing.
Yeah. General Grievous is really good too. But I think Optimus Prime has the edge in the music department because he can make music out of his body with his technological robot parts. And he could have a basically permanent auto tune.
Yeah, and he's kind of like United States colors, which is good for being a pop star.
Also, General Grievous coughs too much, so you can tell he wouldn't be able to do show after show.
I don't think General Grievous has what it takes to be a star.
No, he doesn't. He would be like an underground country artist who overdosed or something.
Yeah, totally. He couldn't hack it.
He could be an Elliot Smith style figure.
Okay, well, also, yeah, here's a question. I mean, being a famous pop star, I mean, there's longevity involved in that. Mm-hmm. But there's also, you know, the Forever 27 Club, where it's just like you have a remarkable talent that's cut tragically short because of your extreme life. I mean, which monster would be good at holding their pop star status for the longest time versus... Which one would you know, go out in a bang?
Yeah, I thought of another one too that we've covered before. That would be an easy one is Tomie.
Yeah, I had that thought too, but I don't know. Tomie makes me mad.
Here's a good 27 Club one. King Kong, Because King Kong, totally. Part of King Kong's story is that he becomes a sensation overnight. They're mm-hmm. doing shows with him, and if he could, he I think would not be able to handle the limelight clearly, because he does a show immediately after he does a show. He
falls from a great
height. He freaks
height.
Out. He kills himself. He dies.
Yeah,
the night of his biggest show. As if that's not 27 Club vibes, I don't know what is.
Honestly, I think that he might be the best pop star in general.
His music, I feel like, would not be that good.
No. I guess not.
Yeah,
I feel like it'd be soothing rhythmic beats or something. He makes lo-fi beats to eat big bananas to.
Yeah. So maybe not the most popular of music, but definitely, I mean, he has the star power.
He does
sure.
have the star power.
I mean, he's the biggest movie star in the world, literally.
That's true.
Literally.
I think he's my favorite pick for that already.
Yeah. I could see that. I could also see another mythological one that I think is maybe just another kind of obvious gimme that's not so fun is sirens.
Yeah. They'd be cheating, though.
Yeah, and also I think people would stop liking sirens after all their biggest stands started to dash themselves to death on the rocks after buying their album.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm down with King Kong.
Let's do King Kong for that one.
Okay, King Kong, get up here, and everybody do not use your cameras right now. Keep the flash off for our own safety and for King mm-hmm. Kong's own safety. All right, what's our next category here?
The worst upstairs neighbor that could fit into an apartment.
Yeah, because at first I wrote worst upstairs neighbor, and then I was like, well, obviously it's just the biggest one.
Yeah,
so smush. Like, the one who could reasonably live upstairs. And I guess it doesn't even have to, just worst neighbor, I guess.
Yeah, worst neighbor.
Who would you not want to be in an apartment with? The next apartment over. Okay, first of all, I know that if Bigfoot lived next to me, he would be fucking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it would smell. You would hear him doing it. You'd also be able to smell him doing it.
One would be louder, you know?
Yeah,
He's a funky guy.
You would hear this. You would hear the sound. You'd go into another room and turn on the TV to try and drown it out, and then the smell would hit you.
Oh God! What do you think it would smell like?
I think that it would smell like if you spilled yogurt on a fur coat and microwaved it
in a primate house.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah, he would not be. Sorry, big guy, bad neighbor. I think another bad one would be witches.
Yeah,
I think
because there's always be so many of them, and this is a modern problem that many people are dealing with.
Yeah,
to live in a building with witches.
Totally, it's no, that's true. A lot of people do have that problem. They're terrible.
Genuinely,
neighbors. Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like they'd always be brewing some potion that would have adverse effects on your health. I mean, like,
yeah.
It'd be worse than asbestos.
And they're always leaving half-full iced coffee everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Growing
and
mold.
And they're dang crystals.
Yes. And creating homunculi as well.
Uh-huh. That would get into your stuff.
So tell me if this counts as a monster. I think it doesn't, but I'm also... It's making me smile to think about having how terrible it would be to have him as a neighbor. And that is Mario. Because every time he did anything, he'd be going like, hop, ha, yahoo,
Mario is ridiculous, man.
You'd hear him get out of bed in the morning. Okay, let's go.
That would
just
suck.
Narrating everything he does every time he jumps. Hop, hop.
But at the very least, he's good-natured.
Yeah, he's friendly.
Except I feel like maybe he's friendly. But I think he might just have a friendly disposition, and like
he might kill you.
Yeah, he'd be like in a common space. You'd be checking your mailbox or something, and you'd hear wah, wah, yeah, and you hear it getting louder and louder, and all of a sudden he's just fucking jumping on top of you, and like no regard for what you had going on.
Definitely, yeah. I think he would do plumbing work for the building.
You know, so. I think this guy does count as a monster and would have a similar issue, and then he would. attract Mario despite being a problem in his own regard. But I think Bowser would be a pretty shit neighbor.
Bowser would be terrible because he's always doing that butt slam move from Smash Bros.
He's always jumping up going, hi-yup! And that's bad, but he's also constantly renovating his spot into like different castles. With
okay, and, that's actually a really good call.
Yeah, and then on top of that, Mario is if he's above you, if Bowser's above you, Mario treats your apartment as a level he needs to clear to get to Bowser. So he's just running in there, wrecking your
boss.
Shit.
Yeah,
and he thinks you're a mini boss before he goes and beats your upstairs neighbor up.
Yeah. Okay, you've completely sold me on Bowser. That's a really strong case.
I think it's Bowser for sure, and it's only half his fault.
Yeah.
All right, congrats, Bowser. You're the worst fucking neighbor.
Okay, the next one I got is kind of... This one we can just kind of lightning round it. But and we can decide which one we'd rather do. But it's Dream Blunt Rotation or Nightmare Blunt Rotation.
Loveland Frogs in my Dream Blunt Rotation.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but again... I love the idea of General Grievous smoking multiple blunts in each of his arms and coughing.
Oh, that's really funny. Okay. Yeah, keep going. Who else is in the dream one?
Man, I think just us three hanging out would be pretty magical at the YMCA parking lot.
Yeah. Okay. I think my dream blunt rotation, let's see. I'm going to go Hunchback of Notre Dame, I think, would be cool.
He's just a guy.
He's a universal monster.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
But he'd be talking about his like tragic life and his like he'd be like really. I feel like he'd be really sad in a way where you'd be like, listen, man, like you're so worth it. You are the man. You know, like the way you get to do that every once in a while. Mm-hmm. He'd be really fun to hype up.
Yeah.
Let me think who else. I guess maybe if I just did a bunch of guys who were all that type, like it's like Hunchback of Notre Dame, Frankenstein.
You're just hanging out with guys giving them pet
talks.
Yeah,
just all the big
sound.
Tragic like God, who are some other guys like that? I guess the Mummy.
Ugh. The mummy would be a fire hazard.
Yeah, that actually would be dangerous. What are more tragic Frankenstein-style monsters? I feel like I should be able to think of more off the top of my head.
Hulk?
Yeah. Hulk? No, I would not want to smoke with Hulk.
You couldn't look him in the
Thing,
eye.
Yo, the Thing, though, the Marvel The Thing, the orange rock guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
he would actually be so sick to smoke with that. He would be great.
And I feel like he's chill.
Yeah, he's definitely chill. And then I guess I would have to say the Tree Sentinel from Elden Ring. Just a gigantic guy on a horse.
That'd be cool.
And he doesn't say anything. You pass it up to him and you just see all the smoke come out of the different parts of his helmet.
That'd be so sick.
And he passes it back. Okay. And then Nightmare Rotation.
I mean, this one, maybe it would be over really quickly, but Dragon... I mean, that's a hazard right there. I'm thinking
more about vibe more than just like they're going to get you. I guess my one really...
Well, I just meant like when they exhale, it's like,
oh,
even if
sure.
they're not trying to get you, it's like, I don't know. There's a lot of cause for concern there.
Yeah. I think my my nightmare rotation is probably Gollum, like from Lord of the Rings, Dobby, Yoda, the Loveland Frog, a goblin... And some type of a Skaven from Warhammer, a Kenku from D&D,
just all the nasty little guys,
and then all the spiders from Arachnophobia. Just a whole room of guys like,
Gollum just gets really stoned and starts bragging to Yoda about something. I can see Gollum being someone who brags. I know he doesn't really do it canonically, but if he gets stoned, I could see him just talking about the stuff he's done.
And he would stop doing the voices. He would just have a normal voice too.
I think
being the two different versions.
Yeah. He would just be Gollum, no Smeagol.
Yeah.
Gollum, no Smeagol.
You know, he would be a third, like, normal guy.
What would his name be? Giggle.
Yeah. Derek.
Smallum. Smallum.
Smallum.
I think my Nightmare Blunt rotation would be Siren Head. Mm-hmm. Just getting stoned and it's just going... And I'd be like, also, I think harpies would suck to smoke with.
Yeah, anything that's like a group of raucous, like hybrids. Yeah. There's a lot of different options for that.
Oh, man. Also, you know what? Actually, in Dream Blunt, I'm going back to Dream Blunt rotation, but I think it would be very cool to smoke weed with Bigfoot.
That would be fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Also, okay, back to Nightmare Blunt rotation, a gibbering mouther would be awful.
Yeah, he have to, because you have to roll 500 blunts.
Yeah, because you pass him the blunt, and he just, like, passes it to each mouth.
Yeah.
Then by the end, it's gone.
Yeah.
All right. And he's mean.
He's mean as fuck. So that's what the award goes to, is all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
For all of those.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like we can skip here to the more school superlative ones that I found, which the first one of these is biggest drama queen. Hunchback. Hunchback
yeah,
of Notre Dame.
Calm down,
oh,
man.
Oh, Esmeralda. No, Phantom of the Opera, actually.
Yeah.
Chill.
Well, Phantom of the Opera is like the biggest drama queen of all.
Yeah. Honestly, I think a lot of ghosts and slasher villains are also all huge drama queens there, because they're all trying to get revenge. It's all like, oh, I died and then my husband took another wife.
I think even more than slasher villains, ghosts, it's like you already died. It's over. And it's the most dramatic thing you can do is come back after most final thing. That's like if you had like a conversation with someone that didn't end how you wanted, it would be kind of dramatic to come back to it. But if you ended your whole life and came back, that's like,
yeah,
that's very extra.
And their unfinished business is always extra. It's never anything like, oh, I forgot to I forgot to get my mail today and I died. I was on my way to get my mail. I tripped down the stairs and I died. I better come back as a ghost and get my mail, and then I'll be free to go into the great beyond. It's always like, my unfinished business is I have to get revenge.
Yeah.
I must get revenge on all my friends.
Totally.
I think another big drama queen, the biggest drama queen slasher villain is probably Jason Voorhees. Oh, man. Oh, no, I drowned. Oh, great. I drowned because a bunch of camp counselors were having sex. I better kill 700 trillion camp counselors. Big whoop, buddy. You died.
Yeah, get over it. Everyone else does.
Yeah. Everyone drowns.
Who else is a big drama queen? I think ghosts are the biggest drama queens of all time. Mm-hmm.
I think also any type of villain who like has a whole like shtick, like who's like, you has a theme to them or an ultimatum that's I'm trying to think of a creepypasta style thing. Like The Ring is not a good example, like, but there's definitely something like that where it's like, oh, there's rules you have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's always like, listen, kill me or don't kill me.
Yeah. Don't beat around the bush about it.
Yeah, you don't need to come up with a system. You are acting autistically. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say. To Sadako from The Ring. Come get me. I don't care. But if you get me, just do it right away. Don't wait the damn 7 days.
That is dramatic. I'm struggling to think of anything more dramatic than a ghost. I'd like to give it to ghosts.
Yeah, I think ghosts get it. I think everything we said is basically a variation of ghosts anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay, here's the next one. Most likely to win the Super Bowl.
That's a good one. Velociraptors.
Yeah. Just one velociraptor getting drafted.
They would go so hard.
First pick.
Uh-huh. They'd go through a lot of balls because there'd be a lot of deflation happening.
They'd have to wear... Well, they're not going to be using their feet. They're not going to be the kicker.
Yeah.
This Velociraptor is running the thing.
Mm-hmm. But they'd need to put like little foam things around their hand, they'd need to pad everything with Nerf stuff to make sure that they're not popping the ball.
Yeah. Oh, here's a good one. Someone like the Human Torch, who it's like, you're not going to tackle this guy. He's on fire. Something with someone who has very hot skin.
Yeah, someone with really hot skin. Someone, another person you can't tackle. Tackle a ghost.
True. You know who else you can't really tackle? Someone really small, like a gnome.
Yeah, that's
like
a
1-inch tall little pixie.
Yeah.
Tinkerbell.
But how are they going to pick up the ball?
Fairy dust.
Oh, shit. Okay, what about
sprinkling fairy dust on the ball and it just flies straight up into the air?
Let's see.
Or, yeah, there must be some monster that's really small but really strong. That has to exist.
Ant-Man?
Ant-Man is not a monster, I guess. No. Oh, what about the little homunculi from Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, the original one?
Oh, the original one, yes.
Where they have kind of mystic-y style powers.
Okay,
yeah. They would be funny to see. Are one player.
Yeah.
Like three of them.
A team of them would look cool, though. I'd love to design their outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, what would it look like?
I mean, didn't they have kind of like conic heads?
Yeah, their heads kind of looked like raisins, I think.
Yeah, it would be very funny to design a helmet that goes over that.
Yeah. I guess in the NFL, we should just in general see some uniforms that are just, let's get rid of the standardization and let's let these people customize a little bit more.
Spikes.
Like, I have a team called the Wizards and they all wear wizard outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And you could put spikes on it.
Or a team called the Guns, and they all get guns. They all get to use. They're just like normal football players, but part of their uniform is that they all get Glocks.
Yeah,
and they're allowed to use them.
Most likely to win the Super Bowl also would be a monster with telekinesis.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, but I couldn't think. Most of my telekinesis.
Space Godzilla
monsters,
has telekinesis.
He does.
And he's also really, really big. So he would be pretty good. He's pretty hard to tackle. He could also imprison the other team in a crystal jail.
Honestly, I think the Super Bowl would get really boring if Space Godzilla was in one of the team's rosters, just because he would crush.
It'd be
literally
so funny if like a big kaiju were real or a bunch of giant monsters, and one team gets Space Godzilla on it, so all the other teams are always constantly being like, "Yo, like Godzilla, come play for us." And Godzilla's like, "No, I don't want to." Space Godzilla just is the only kaiju who wants to play in the NFL.
And also,
really unbalanced.
All the other teams are trying to trade.
Yeah, and just constantly. We'll trade you our entire team.
Yeah, come on, just please let us have Space Godzilla.
Please. Yeah, and he probably lives a long ass time, as he is a strange space mutant monster.
I'm sure he lives a long ass time.
I'm sure he would just dominate the NFL for like 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
the 1,000-year dynasty of Space Godzilla.
Hell yeah. I think Space Godzilla can win this one. I think this belongs to Space Godzilla.
I'm down to give it to Space Godzilla. All right.
Ding.
Who's up next?
Well, it's the best monster to share a desert island with.
Okay, so this is a monster that can make water. What monster can make water?
I'm a monster that can make water.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, my first thought was the crawlers from The Descent, because in the second one, they shoot diarrhea water out of their butt. But
and
that
you,
would not be good
to,
water to drink.
No.
No, I wouldn't like much at all.
As long as I'm allowed to bring a straw, I'd like to say the blob.
Yeah.
I'd sneak up behind him when it's resting and just stick it in the...
That's a good idea. Just taking a little sips at a time.
Actually, I guess we already talked about it, but a water elemental would be a great...
Yeah, an elemental could basically answer all of these questions, I feel like.
Not biggest drama queen. They're like,
what about a drama elemental?
Oh, shit, I didn't think about that. They sound annoying as fuck.
Yeah, I would not want to hang out with a drama elemental.
Yeah, no, I think maybe elemental's a cop-out a little bit.
They have this in Marvel Comics where for the Atlanteans, and I think that there must be at least one other example of this, but when it's like a fish man that has an astronaut suit filled with water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I think there's one of those in Chicken Little, maybe. If I'm not mistaken. Anyway, one of those because you could drink the water out of their suit.
Yeah,
they'd be no, 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 please don't. And then when you're done, when you finish all the water, you take the fish parts out, lay them down on a rock, and they'll cook out in the hot sun.
Here's another one. Pizza the Hut.
Pizza the Hut is a really good one.
Because you have really good company, and then when you get hungry, you know, there he is.
I'm also realizing now that I kind of immediately fixated on water and food, and now I think actually that the best one would just be a hippogriff, because you can fly and leave the island.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Anything that can fly.
Or Lapras from Pokemon.
Yeah, it just plays a pleasant Pokemon theme as you traverse Route 102.
But hey, even then, you won't have any food. It might take a while to get off the island.
Lapras is a known apex predator and hunter. Lapras will hunt for you.
I could also just eat Lapras bit by bit as it swims.
And hope it doesn't notice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm down with Lapras.
I like Pizza the Hut better.
I like Pizza the Hut better, too.
I want to hang out with him. Actually, he would be great for a Dream Blunt rotation.
Yeah, because you could just eat him.
Yeah. No, I'm not Pizza Colorado. Pizza? Oh, no. I'd like to give it to Pizza the Hut for the Desert Island.
Yeah, Pizza the Hut definitely deserves it. He's the man.
Yep.
All right, the next one is one that I found. Which monster is most likely to give homework over holiday?
Ugh.
My answer, Satan.
There's no arguing there. Who's like a really unchill monster?
Yeah, aren't that many intelligent monsters that I can think of off the top of my head.
It's similar to Satan because they have the same vibes, but I think a witch.
Yeah.
A witch. You know, like,
you know what? Also, Robbie the robot, or a different type of robot. He would not understand the human need for rest and relaxation.
Borgs would give you homework over the holiday.
They completely would. God, I hate homework and love holiday.
The Groks from Spore.
I don't remember them.
Oh, I'm going to look them up right now.
You
should look.
I'm going to look at a picture of them.
You'll see exactly that I'm right.
I bet that you are. Images. Yeah, these guys would give you homework.
Yeah, they would.
They would have annoying ass homework too.
Yeah, they would. The Groks would
give their homework. The homework they would give you would be like collect 5 million units of spice.
That's exactly the kind of homework they'd give.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess also something that has a monster that is like has slaves or thralls.
Mm-hmm.
The Necrons from Warhammer, or a vampire, Dracula.
Dracula would give you homework.
Give you homework for sure. Yeah. I like the Groks.
I like the Groks too.
That's a cooler answer than the Borg.
They're kind of the same thing, except they're sillier.
Yeah,
the Groks look like they live for homework. I'm mm-hmm. looking at these guys right now, and in a similar twisted. Oh, actually, Cenobites. They would give you.
Yeah, they completely would.
They would give you homework.
Yeah.
Let me take you to the extremes.
I will show you. I will show you the furthest reaches of assignments.
and English.
They would give it to you on like a Mobius strip or something. Some
eternal
kind of fucked
homework.
Up evil geometry. Yeah.
You get spun around for forever looking at homework.
God, I would hate to go to the Cenobites Academy.
Yeah,
that would be the worst. Yeah.
I would like
the pleasure parts, but not. I wouldn't enjoy the pain.
Yeah, me neither. The pleasure of understanding a math problem and the pain of there being a Mobius strip of unlimited math problems.
Yeah.
Or conjugating to the subjunctive in Spanish.
Yeah, I think it's Cenobites.
Yeah, totally. They think that they would think that they're doing you a favor.
Yeah.
We appear as teachers to some substitutes.
But co-workers to others.
Yeah. I like Cenobites for them. For that one.
Yeah. That is funny.
We have such movies to show you.
That would be on the last day of class.
We have such Ratatouille to show you.
We're going to watch Shrek in Spanish. Yeah, I think Cenobites win that one hands down.
Yeah.
All right. Next category.
Yes. So this, let me introduce this one. This is one that I also found on this website, and it is, I'm just going to paint you a picture, okay? It's probably, it's a while ago. Let's say it's 2015 right now for this to make sense. It's 2015. You're on your laptop, and you open up Facebook to check if anyone's posted any new Like My Status for a Truth Is, or if anyone has dropped their picks, new pro picks have come up, or anyone posted new song lyrics. You have a little notification. You think that's odd. You click, well, I guess you don't think it's that odd unless you're a loser, but you click on the notification. You see it's a friend request. And you see a little, you squint, you see a picture, and it is this monster. Who is this? Who is most likely to be your friend on Facebook? Who is begging for you to accept their friend request? You deny it, they keep requesting, please let me be your friend on Facebook. I want to connect with you.
I mean, I have two easy answers, but we're going to need to dig deeper after these. Loveland Frog is one of them.
Yep, definitely. Loveland Frog is a mainstay for sure.
Yeah, and then I guess if you're counting him as a monster, a hunchback.
I think hey, he counts.
Yeah, all right. poor guy. He's the far and away the most human guy that we've considered a monster. That guy
Springheel
is
Jack. Springheel Jack.
Springheel Jack would drop it, I think, though. He'd go, nee-hee-hee, and then he would, like, fuck with you. Oh, you're saying most
he's
likely
human.
To be a human. Yeah, sure. I thought you were saying Springheel Jack is most likely to be your friend on Facebook. And I was
no,
like,
he would bully you.
Yeah, he would. He's too cool to be pathetic.
He would add you under a fake name. He would do, like, what he would add you under the name, like Jimmy Fart or something.
Mm-hmm, totally.
And you'd be like, and with a funny picture, you'd be like, oh, this account looks funny, and you accept it, and then he'd go through all your pictures and start posting fucked up shit about you.
Yeah, damn. Honestly, I could see Dobby.
Yeah, Dobby too is another good one. The one that would scare me is if a Nephilim, something biblical.
Yeah, that wouldn't like
just an angel, the angel of death wants to be your friend. The Grim Reaper.
But they wouldn't be the most likely. That would just be...
Yeah, it would just be scary and funny if that happened. The Phyrexians and the Borg, too. That's similar mm-hmm. vibe. They're always trying to connect.
They're trying to link.
Yeah, trying to link. Cujo.
Yeah.
Guess before, Cujo pre-rabies.
Cujo pre-rabies is
very friendly.
The best monster of all time.
He would be just adding everybody. He'd be very mm-hmm. be very eager to meet everybody and be friends with everybody. If dogs had Facebook, that would be cool.
Yeah, that would dog book.
But if dogs were just also on human Facebook.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people would be a lot more ashamed to post some of the stuff that they did if their dogs could read it.
Yeah. Just farted on my dog.
Yeah. Or ranting about politics. I mean... If Spot's reading this, I feel like...
I've got it. I figured it out. I know what it is.
Who? Oh, what?
You'd see the friend request pop up, and you'd be like, oh, that's odd. It's my mom, but I'm already friends with her. You click on the profile, go through the pictures. You open up the first profile picture. It's your mom. You go to the next one. It is a deer monster in the woods. It's a skinwalker.
Damn.
Who is trying to get trying to get into your virtual house.
It'd be funny if the skinwalker thought that they deleted all the other pictures of them as a deer creature, and they accidentally had one from 2005 that they forgot to delete.
Yeah, that's 100% what it would be. It's really really low quality, and the caption is like Fall Out Boy lyrics. Yeah, I think that the skinwalker would be constantly trying to add you on Facebook.
Totally. Yeah, I think we can give this one to skinwalker.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have the things that we have left that we could do that we did last Monsties, but again, we have a much smaller selection this time. Last time, I think we did top monster of the year and worst monster of the year that we covered. I feel like we could still do that, even though there's not that much to pick from.
Sure.
And then we have, after that, the biggest award of the year that we're very excited to give out. But first, I guess let's start with worst monster of the year. Well, who is your worst monster out of the 12 that we covered?
Reptile.
Yeah. He's pretty not that great, I guess. I probably also have to go with Reptile. Not so interesting, but...
No, he was whatever.
Yeah. And the best one, I think I'm sure you know what I'm going to go with, but what's your top pick?
I mean, mine's Chimps.
Yeah, mine is Godzilla. I think we both could have guessed that about each other, probably.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those were when we did See You in Hell, we were like just wanted to cover the ones that we really wanted to cover.
Yeah.
And Cameron's was Godzilla and mine was Chimps.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm going to give a runner up to Bigfoot. I learned to appreciate Bigfoot a lot more after researching him.
For sure. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not giving a runner up to Bigfoot. I don't care.
Also, I really liked Oogie Boogie.
Yeah.
In our Nightmare Before Christmas episode,
Oogie
that
Boogie
I don't
is
remember.
Cool. Most of what we did, I mean, even I say Reptile is the worst, but I still like him. He's not that interesting, but I don't think we had any bad ones for See You in Hell plus the other parts of the year. Well, before we do the big final award, I also did. I did this last year too, but last year I did 5 of them, but this year I can only think of 3 because I don't think it was a very big monster year. But just in general, the best monsters of the year of 2024. I think is just fun to do, or of 2023, I guess. Sorry, I'm doing it in 2024, but these are the best monsters of 2023. And obviously, I think the obvious number one, I think, is Godzilla from Godzilla Minus One. I think it's an incredible Godzilla design, plus a really cool take on the Godzillasaurus design as well. I think it just perfectly encapsulates what is cool and awesome about Godzilla without smoothing him over like the American ones do, and just really celebrating every era of him. And it's just enough Heisei that I think is what's sorely lacking from a lot of Godzilla designs. And also, I think that it's a perfect amount of looks like a guy in a suit. He's got the big pecs. He's got the upright posture. And it's just wonderful and beautiful. And I think that design is so fire and so cool and really scary as well. Then my number two was the Kamakiri Chameleon Augment from Shin Kamen Rider, which is, you should, here, I'll send you a pic of this right now, Kai, because did you see Shin Kamen Rider?
No, I didn't.
This is just a fucking batshit insane crazy person design of like why did you make this? It's just truly insane. It's a guy, it's common in Kamen Rider, it's people who are like fused genetically with robots and like bugs and animals and stuff. And this guy is fused. He's a human cyborg who's also fused with a half chameleon and half praying mantis. And he can like turn invisible with an invisibility cloak. So half of his body is like striped, like, and colorful like a chameleon. The other half is like green like a mantis. And then he also has like a green fucked up face, and he can grow like a blade out of his arm. It's truly just like, it's a psycho design. It's so crazy looking. It looks like you are having an ocular migraine to look at it.
Yeah, no, it looks fucked up, but cool. Yeah,
it's very cool. I think it's really cool to do a design where it's like, oh, it's like a genetic hybrid, but it's literally split directly down the middle of like, okay, this half is this and this half is that. And then also honorable mention from that movie, the bat augment, the like bat professor guy is crazy and a really cool use of CGI. And then my third top monster of the year, which I think that you probably like this one too, Kai, I'd have to imagine, is Lump the Enlightened from Baldur's Gate. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I don't really care for that many of the monsters from Baldur's Gate because they're kind of just D&D monsters and they don't interest me that much. But Lump the Enlightened is fire.
Yep. Lump the Enlightened was awesome. He was a Judge Holden.
Exactly. That's like literally what I was going to say too. He truly feels like a fantasy Judge Holden.
I have to say, actually, I read Blood Meridian in 2023, and after encountering Judge Holden as a villain, I think that Judge Holden is the perfect villain.
He's so cool.
He is
the
coolest
character.
Yeah, and I guess for those who don't know, Lump the Enlightened is in Baldur's Gate 3. He's an ogre so he's big and dumb looking, but he's found a circlet of intellect or something like that that basically just makes him not stupid like a normal ogre, and he is different from the other ogres you encounter. In that way.
He's just like he's very eloquent and like uses big words, but he has not lost any of the bloodthirst or like evilness of an ogre. So he's talking about eating people and stuff.
Yeah. And he's more willing to like make deals than other ogres only because he understands the long-term benefits.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, he's still just as fucked up. He's just smart. Now.
Very cool character. Very sick.
Actually. Yeah. I that was a really good pick.
Because I was thinking, I was like, I don't think I saw that much stuff with monsters in it in like 2023. I just don't think I did. And I was thinking of Baldur's Gate, but there just wasn't that much in Baldur's Gate I liked. And then I remembered him, and I was like, oh,
there was
one
new source of monsters in 2023 that I think there are a lot of great picks with. Actually, I think the monster design for almost every monster in this piece of media are like very, very good. And that's the Lethal Company, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Has the Forest Guardians in Lethal Company are awesome. They're like they're the giants.
I like the guys with the spring necks. They're really scary.
Yeah, the guys with the spring necks are scary. And then it's not so much a new idea, but in the game, the mimics are a really successful monster to me. Just like, basically in the game, you can find tragedy and comedy masks, like the literal tragedy and comedy masks. And this, I'm saying this for people who haven't played it. And if you put it on for too long, it just takes you over, and you no longer control your character, and it is prone to killing your teammates. But there's also just guys that look like your teammates but are wearing a tragedy or comedy mask walking around in the dungeon sometimes. And it's like, you know, it's a not super sophisticated graphics kind of game. And sometimes you'll just, like, hear someone walking near you that sounds like player footsteps, and you'll, like, turn around, and for a second it looks like someone, and you're like, hello, and then they like move weird, and you're like, oh fuck, and you realize that you're alone with something. And it's a very successful monster design within the scope of like how it plays in the game. It's super good.
Yeah
same with the T-Rex things. They're called dogs colloquially. I don't know what they're actually called, but like what's successful about them to me is they can hear you but they can't see you. It just creates a lot of tense moments. I don't know. I think that game, despite being made by like a single furry as the developer, has some really successful monsters in it. But of all of them, I think the Forest Guardian is my favorite because it's big thumping.
Are those the big giants that thump around and pick you up and eat you?
Yeah, they are so fucking scary when you like.
Yeah, there's really something primal and incredible. It's always cool to see a big humanoid giant that picks somebody up like he's holding a cucumber and just eats them.
That is
always awesome.
It's also like a big part of the game is sound design, and it is so scary to just like be walking around in the dark woods and then all of a sudden you're and then you hear it go when it gets excited because it sees you. It's like being chased down by a giant toddler. It's horrifying. So yeah, I'm just going to my favorites of 2023 are also Lump the Enlightened, and then also I'm just gonna say like pretty much all of the monsters in Lethal Company I'm a fan of.
Sick. All right, well I think that brings us to the last and of course the most important award of the night, and I'll read out the category and then we'll open up the envelope and we'll see who won. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
Well, tonight, guys, we are gathered here at the Monsties 2024 to see who has won the Monstie Award for the best podcast of 2024. And you have the envelope, right? Here, just hand it to me and I'll tear it open.
Here you go.
All right. Let me open it up here and see. Let's see what it says. All right, here. Will you read that? I'm too nervous.
Okay. The best podcast of 2023, awarded in 2024, goes to Monster Crazy.
Oh, my God. Us?
We've done it again.
Another time in a row?
Yeah, even with our staggered releases.
Yeah, even with barely releasing any episodes.
Our long delays that are caused because we didn't get into it, but we were really mad at each other for a long time.
Yeah, we had a huge falling out,
and that's why we didn't make so many episodes. But we're back now, and we won.
That's best unbelievable. Podcast. I'm so excited. Well, I guess if we won best podcast,
yeah, I mean,
like. I was going into this, like, I mean, for the past hour I was thinking, boy, it sucks this is the last episode.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the same thing. Wow.
But because I was like, yeah, and we barely did anything this year, so this award's probably gonna go to like the Michelle Obama podcast or something like that.
Yeah,
someone who like really puts a lot of effort in.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, if Ellen DeGeneres has a podcast, like, maybe hers.
Yeah, she probably does.
Yeah. Or, like, Kim Kardashian or Justin Bieber.
Yeah, probably a celebrity. But, honestly, this is, I mean.
I mean, I think it's kind of a sign. We probably.
Yeah. Maybe what we should do in order to keep it sustainable and make sure that we're actually releasing things on sometimes a schedule, but also that nothing like what happened the past year in terms of scheduled happens again, is that maybe we should do short contained series similar to See You in Hell, where we record them all and pick them out in advance, and then they come out as a mini series.
Yeah, but unlike See You in Hell, we could actually like sort of make sure that they're released on a weekly basis for a period of time.
Right.
Get all of our ducks in a row and schedule ahead of time.
Exactly. Yeah. Like maybe, yeah, every once in a while just say, okay, it's time to do a mini series with so-and-so theme and then do, you know, 4 or 5 episodes for 4 or 5 weeks and then retreat back into the ether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of like guerrilla warfare.
Yeah. And guerrilla warfare is also happening in the crowd right now as we speak. I'm seeing gorillas tearing the heads off of some people who clap too loud when we announced that we won the best podcast.
Well, gee, Cameron, I think that's a really good idea. What should be the name of our first series?
Maybe Monsters of Poop?
Cameron, come on. Be serious.
Huh. Maybe Monsters of Pee?
Hmm. We're getting closer.
Okay, I don't know. Kai, if you don't like my ideas, what do you think we should call our first miniseries?
I think we should call it Monster Crazy Undertow.
Okay, but I think we probably shouldn't release it for a while.
Yeah, we should probably...
Maybe a year or two.
Yeah.
Or maybe... No, probably shorter than that, but just don't... Just keep your expectations in check.
Yeah, we'll be taking our time doing whatever we want, but we'll try to be a little bit more succinct.
It might be a while until it starts, but once it starts, it will be on a succinct schedule until it ends.
And then it will likely start again, but in a different form.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I think that sounds good to me.
Okay. Wow. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in, and thanks to all the monsters in the audience. Can we get here a monstrous roar of applause?
And also, I guess, just thank you to everyone who listens and who we tricked.
Yeah,
by accident. We were planning to end it, and it was too fun to do it in this format, so...
Yeah, we didn't want to end it. Oopsies.
Yep. Sorry that we can't do... regular weekly episodes anymore, but that's just the way life shakes out sometimes. But I'm happy that we found the joy to be able to do it more anyway.
Mm-hmm. And I hope it was too sad for us to imagine that we actually stopped talking about monsters and having a reason to watch a bunch of movies about monsters and think about them and read books about monsters and think about them and read websites about monsters and think about them.
Yeah, and also comic books.
And also comic books. And also,
and think
honestly,
about them.
And think about them. And also, honestly, other podcasts and think about them.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll see you guys for Monster Crazy Undertow.
Mm-hmm. Bye now. And think about them.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling?
See you in hell.